This is Joe Caramagna, writer and letterer at Marvel Comics, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
USB microphones and headphones provided by CAD Audio. CAD Audio, expression through innovation.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response.
We're already putting together the best man.
With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan. It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers.
I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It's Eric, Kylan, and Mike, the Intrepid Trio, and we are joined by, well, you know her as the host of The Watcher. You know her from Marvel Live when you follow any of the Marvel Live stuff on Marvel.com for conventions like San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con. You know her from the brand new show that launched Thursday, The Thwip, Lorraine Cink. How you doing tonight, Lorraine?
Hey, I'm good. It's 10 p.m. Eastern time, but we're partying. It's on. Let's do it.
So how did you get involved with Marvel initially?
So I am a comedian in New York. If you guys hear wrestling around, I apologize. I have a very active small dog. I'm a comedian here in New York City, and my friend and I used to make goofy, geeky videos on YouTube and stuff for fun. And in particular, I wrote a song called Ode to a Geek Boy that's like a little funny song, like a little love song, but with just packed full of kind of geeky references. And when they were looking for a new host for a show called The Watcher that's on Marvel.com, they actually reached out to me and they were like, hey, would you like to come in and audition? We saw some of your geeky videos. And I was like, oh my god, yes. I'm freaking out. I get to go to Marvel HQ. What's happening? And I auditioned, and then the rest is history, pretty much. I just got super lucky.
Awesome.
So have you been a Marvel fan, comic book fan in general, for since growing up? Or
yeah, I definitely did. I took a little break during college because money and and books that you have to read all the time, but no, I grew up with comics. I'm lucky that I have an older brother who kind of introduced me to comic when I was itty bitty tiny. He's 5 years older than me, and since the time I was maybe 10 or 11, we've been going to like Comic-Con and stuff like that growing up. And so yeah, I started pretty young.
What were the kind of things that you read when you were a kid?
I mean, my first comics were Disney comics, like the old Disney comics that were in a trunk that belonged to my mom and her brother when they were kids in like the 50s.
Wow, the old gold keys.
So we read the pages off of them, which is pretty sad considering they'd probably be worth something this day and age. But I started with Disney comics, and then I kind of read a little bit of everything. I mean, I wasn't loyal to anything. I was just a kid, so I loved like Archie comics, and I even had Barbie comics and stuff. You know, I am girly, and I read a lot of girly comics. But you know, I also read, you know, Marvel and DC and whatever I kind of could steal from my brother a lot of the time.
Well, cool.
Now, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I insist.
No, after you.
We're a very gentlemanly bunch here, so
oh,
we're
you're
all
so
just
nice.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Dad, Bernard Emke, go.
How did you get involved in comedy? Since this is what eventually gets you to the Marvel connection.
Well, it's kind of funny. I started doing theater, you know, kind of in high school for fun. And then in college, I had a college professor who really pulled me in to the acting program and was like, hey, you should be an actor. I'm going to pull you into this My dog is very sad about it. I apologize if you can hear him whining. My teacher kind of pulled me into the program, and I ended up doing theater for a while. And then I kind of decided, I don't know if I want to do theater. It's not exactly what I want to do. It's a lot of traveling and that kind of stuff. And then I took a couple improv classes, and I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. Because when I was doing theater, I always played like weird characters, and like I was always kind of comic relief. And then I realized... small dog being moved. I just gotta hold it because he won't stop. But I sort of realized, like, the stuff I want to do... He's so unhappy. I apologize. What I really want to do is just kind of play the funny... Do you want to be on this podcast with me? Nope, he's done. Okay. No, what I realized that I really want to do was just to make people laugh and to be a part of that. And it's actually really great because a ton of comics are into comics. Like, it's a really well, like, matched sort of community. So I kind of felt very at home in that community, you know, of people, I guess. And that's it. That's how I did it.
Cool.
Aside from how improv and doing the funny videos got you onto Marvel's radar, and what other ways has your improv background helped out doing your career at Marvel?
Oh, well, I mean, I definitely think it helps you kind of just deal with life and being on camera live. You know, like when you're on a live stream, you know, a lot of times we do Marvel Live when we're at comic conventions, especially for New York and San Diego. And when you're on live, there's nothing that you can do. It's just like you're rolling, you're there. If something happens, you just got to go with the punches and have a good time. And so it definitely makes it easier. And I think, too, it makes it more fun to interview people because you're kind of like, how can I make this a joke? And like, how can I make this fun and, you know, make everybody have a good time? So it does help.
Like, case in point with your interview with Anthony Mackie, where you wound up doing Marvel charades. I had to explain that to my son. I was watching it this evening, and I had my headphones on, so I'm watching it on my computer. He's kind of like off in the other side of the room, and he just looks around me and says, why are you laughing so hard? I said, because Falcon is trying to be the Hulk.
You don't even need audio.
No.
I mean, and that is one thing that's fun, too, is, like, they let me come up with some really dumb stuff to do, and a lot of times they'll let me do it. And if you have somebody who's like Anthony Mackie, who's just so funny and so lovely and so gracious, he'll be like, heck yeah, I'll play charades with you. I'll get crazy in this conference room in front of, like, 20 people and a couple cameras. Like, yeah, why not? So it's super fun.
Have there been any instances where you've thought of something like that and you thought, this is just going to, like, just completely tank? It's going to blow up. There's no way there's going to be, and yet they're into it, and it just like blows everybody away how well it turns out.
Everything. No. Okay. No. I mean, I think you always are hoping that whatever you do works. I mean, the more likely thing I think that happens is people don't have time or they can't or, you know, whatever. And so you'll spend a lot of time being like, oh man, we're going to play this game and it's going to be so fun and I'm going to build props and we're going to like get the intern to do a bunch of stuff. And they're like, oh, actually they're running behind and they have to be on like a live show in 20 minutes. And you're like, okay, so cool. No, it's don't worry about it. You know, but that's, you know, the sort of nature of doing stuff in entertainment. People have got tight schedules and, you know, people are just people. Sometimes they're sick. Sometimes they're tired. Sometimes, you know, everyone's having a life outside of when they're not on camera, supposedly.
The nerve.
I know.
Wait, life?
Yeah, it's that thing that happens.
It's a board game.
Has Fury authorized that here at the layer?
We put in a request for Coulson and, you know, he said he'd get back to us.
No, it depends on your sort of level access, whether or not you get to have a life. Lower level, probably get life. Higher level, no life. Yeah.
Well, we're stuck in a sub or an above ground suborbital underwater volcano layer.
Are you guys sure you're not villains? Because that sounds super villainy.
Well, it's a repurposed base, sort of.
Oh, repurposed. Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Our helicarrier is made out of a VW microbus.
Yes. But it has cup holders. I added cup holders last week.
Thank you. Is that like Lola's sister, Daphne?
Yes.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. Well, it was really, really cool. Where like I was like rooting around in the basement, and I found this old like propeller from one of the early helicarriers, and I saw this like really nice microbus, and I said, "Hey!" And that's what
the rest
you get.
Is history.
We had to grind it down a lot.
Yeah.
So now being one of the big online hosts for Marvel, what's been some of the more interesting places that has taken you, or what are some of the more interesting events that you've gotten to do? as I'm stumbling on my words.
Well, I'm going to go to Chile soon, which I'm pretty excited about.
Oh, sweet. Take a jacket.
But I know. It's supposed to be cold there. I was like, what? How can that? Oh, right. That's the way weather works on the globe. But it also is going to be chilly because it's actually winter there. But... excellent pun. I think the thing that's probably the most cool that I've gotten to do, I've mostly been like Comic Cons and that kind of thing. And I get to do the live coverage of a lot of the movie premieres. So I've been at Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, Marvel's Captain America the Winter Soldier, is that right? Or no, pardon me, Marvel's Ant-Man, Marvel's... Civil War. Oh, so it's a whirlwind. I've been traveling a lot back and forth to LA, which is really, really fun and crazy tiring.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you ever foresee a time where your fandom gets to be your life?
I never thought that it would work out that way, because it's funny, I have always had this thing in my life where I've been like, I don't want to work, I want to do the fun thing a little bit. And so I'll set out to do a fun thing and I'm like, I really want to do this fun thing, and then it becomes my career. So it was kind of like that in college with acting, where I was like, oh, I like taking these acting classes, this is really fun, and then it kind of became my major. And then I did acting and I started to kind of do comedy as the fun thing, that became my career, and now my fandom, I was like, well, my fandom is my fun thing and that's what I enjoy talking about, and now that's become my career. So whatever I guess my next fun thing is, might be my next step in life.
Of all the premieres that you've worked, which one has been the one that stands out in your mind as being, I don't want to say the most fun, but I guess the most memorable?
I think my first one was Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, and that was very fun for me because, I mean, it was my first movie premiere where I got to be like the official Marvel host. I got to introduce the cast on stage, and Joss Whedon happens to be a friend of mine from working through Marvel, and so it was really cool to get to see him and like at his premiere, and that was really exciting. And so it was just like really, it was a very cool night, and I remember... when we got done, we did the whole red carpet. It's a whirlwind thing. You show up an hour or two early and you get dressed really fast. You know, you come in all your hair and makeup and you change really quick. And then you do this red carpet in like an hour or two and it's over because it's all live. And you've spent like a week or more prepping for it probably. And you just get done and you're like... you feel like you've like run a marathon or something. And me and Tamara Krinsky, the other co-host, we were just like, so you want to go get burgers? And like, we went and sat in our fancy dresses and ate burgers, waiting for everybody to get out of the screening while we like wrapped our shoot. But it was an amazing time. And two, it was such a huge movie. And it's the first time that we had that many Avengers all together. So that was super crazy. I mean, it was huge.
What's been the craziest outfit you've seen at a red carpet that you're like, wow, we're gonna get away with showing this online?
I haven't ever seen anybody who looked like, quote, inappropriate. I think everybody's looked lovely and amazing. I haven't seen anything too scandalous, at least in the time that I've been there. I know people have talked about in the past, like someone will wear a dress and they'll be like, oh my gosh, how is she wearing that? That's amazing. But no, I mean, everybody looked gorgeous and lovely and not too scantily clad. Sorry, no tales to tell out of school.
We were hoping for some nice, you know, some fun backstory, you know, anecdotes from you or something like that.
Yeah, because I remember, was it Jamie Presley from, not Jamie Presley.
Jamie Alexander had that sexiness for like Thor the Dark World or something.
Yeah.
But that was before I started doing the red carpet. Actually, that was before I started working at Marvel. Although it's been a while now, boy oh boy. But no, it is always really fun though to see kind of how expansive it is, because there are people that are there because they are super crazy famous or they're in the movie. And then there are also people who like work for Marvel, like one of my dear friends who's a lawyer at Marvel. It usually comes out to the premieres and, you know, she always looks lovely and whatever, but there are people that are like in Gucci gowns. And then there are people that like work in admin, you know, for Marvel, and this is their opportunity to go to a screening. And it's actually like very cool. It's like a wonderful sort of inclusive feeling.
Who's been that one star either on the comic book side or on the MCU side that has had you absolutely starstruck and almost speechless?
You know, Paul Rudd is such a darling, darling human being. He's so nice. I got to meet him at Comic-Con. Of course, I'm a comedian, so I'm a huge fan. And I don't normally get nervous to interview anyone. Like, I geek out on people. Like, you know, a lot of people who write, I will geek out with them. But it was such a different thing because not only are they somebody that sort of creates the stuff that you're really into, because he writes a lot of his stuff and he improvises a lot of his stuff, but, you know, he's also like this huge star. And I remember I interviewed him, and you guys probably know from interviewing people, you like stumble, like I just did, you stumble over one word and you're like, oh my God, I stumbled over a word, you know, like, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. But in your head, you're like, I want this to go fit. And I remember I just had like a tiny hiccup in something I said. I don't even know if you could even tell, but it was in my head and I was just like so excited. And he was so funny, and he was there with Peyton Reed and Michael Douglas also, who's fantastically amazing, you know. Also, I mean, I was just like completely floored to be there talking to them, and they're teasing Peyton Reed, calling him a virgin, and they're just like absolutely making fun of him, giving him the hardest time, and they're so funny, you know, like a runaway train of funniness. And when we got done, I was like, thank you so much, you were such a wonderful interview. And I just remember it was so tickling to me, because he was like, yeah, you, great interview. And it was just so sweet, because he so genuinely was just like, you know, somebody gives you a compliment, you give one back. Like, there was that like very earnest, where I'm just like, oh man, you're just a guy, you're just like a sweet normal human being. So that was also, it's also like really nice when you meet sort of your idols or people you really look up to, and they're just as lovely and they're everything you want them to be. It's like especially great, I think.
Have there been any instances where you've been to a premiere and suddenly a celebrity will show up and it just like blows your mind, like, wow, so you're a Marvel fan? Just kind of like just surprise you that you just totally were not expecting to see.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's you never know who you're going to see. I mean, there are always people showing up, and then there are people too that you're like, you know why they're there, like they're friends with people or they're in the Geek Crew. Like every now and again you'll see like Nathan Fillion there, and I'm a huge Nathan Fillion fan. So you're always like, oh gosh, I hope they're there. But yeah, I mean, it's a very weird mix of people. There's not a lot of rhyme or reason for it sometimes, I think, other than people are just super fans. But that is something that's like really cute, is like we have a lot of people who'll come in and tour the office, and you're just like, oh man, you're into Marvel, that's awesome, you know. And they just want to go around, talk to the editors, and like geek out like everybody else does, you know. It's pretty awesome. Like David Tennant likes to come in a lot. Well, not a ton, but he's been in a few times, and he just likes Marvel, and it's so endearing. And he's like my doctor, so, you know, I have strong feelings about it.
Well, there you go.
Awesome.
I'm more classic too, but you know, hey, like his stuff too. And I think it's great that he got cast in Jessica Jones. So it's,
oh yeah, yeah. He's an incredible Kilgrave.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's been one of the scariest or maybe creepiest moments that have happened while you were on the air?
Or
trying to do a show.
Or trying to do a show. Well, I think the scariest thing truly is every once in a while we'll do a live stream and they'll be like, oh, we've actually had the live stream up for longer than you thought. Or like for some reason it'll click live a little sooner and you're like, oh, I hope I wasn't saying anything. Like, I hope I was being appropriate, you know. I think technical difficulties are always the scariest thing because it's just completely out of your control. And you're like, well, maybe you can hear me, maybe you don't. Like, maybe you lose footage. I mean, that to me is also a scary thing. Like, sometimes you'll shoot something and you'll be like, oh, the hard drive failed. And they're like, no, I have to go back and shoot everything. Or we're just never going to get that interview back, you know.
I've had that with an interview. I was interviewing John Schneider. And I flipped back to my recording program and the Skype feed, which the last time I had checked was laying down waveforms with no problem. Came back and checked and everything was flatline. And I lost it all.
It's such a sad feeling because you're just like, Well, I've lost a little moment of history, and there's nothing that can be done.
Well, I was very gracious for John being able to come back and reschedule with us.
Oh, that's like,
but okay. That was a nightmare. I was like, crap, it's gone. And it was such gold too that first time.
Okay, so you're probably privy to a lot of stuff before it gets released to the general public. What was the one thing that you were just like fighting the urge to just drop the bomb on, and you couldn't until like the press release or whatever?
Oh, I mean, I feel like that's everything in life. You know, it's like choosing your darlings. You know, like right now, I know how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ends, and that's all that I can say. I'm not saying anything. I've said nothing.
It is because I like
my job and I want to keep it. But
well, what she was going to tell us was it ends with the end credits.
It ends. That's exactly how it ends. It ends with names going down a screen.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
And no,
tears rolling down my cheeks.
Yeah, and I mean, y'all know you're a bunch of geeks too. Like when you get, like, I got to see Civil War 2-3 times before it was out in theaters, and there's nothing like being like, I know what happens. Like it feels so good, and you know that everybody's gonna know eventually, but for that like week or two of time, you're like, I'm so special. I hold the secrets.
It's I like am She-Ra. I have the power.
Talking about cool stuff like, you know, San Diego Comic Con and your Comic-Con, you've done cosplay in the past, and particularly was watching the Marvel Method series where you where you did the Scarlet Witch for San Diego Comic Con in 2014. Would you like to take a few minutes to talk about like your cosplay history, your hobby about doing that?
Sure. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not like a crazy cosplayer because I'm not an awesome seamstress, but I do like to cosplay, and I'm a huge, huge fan, and I really encourage people to do this, to do casual cosplay or closet cosplay, people will call it, where, like, I do Mary Jane all the time. It's an easy costume for me because I have red hair, and, you know, like, pretty much takes a Spider-Man shirt, but I'm a big fan of doing stuff that, whatever is your level of comfortableness, is what you should do. Like, I made my dog a Rocket the Raccoon costume, like, he has his own cosplay, but, you know, so I was really lucky when I got to do Scarlet Witch, because that costume was made for me by a professional seamstress, and I would not be able to make that in my house.
You looked amazing, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It was fabulous, yeah.
I mean, I love that costume by John Cassaday. When that design came out, I was like, yeah, give Scarlet Witch some pants. I'm into it. Like, I'm a big fan of like functional costuming too. I really love the redesigns that have been happening. I love what Chris Anka does for costumes. It's like incredible. But I saw that costume and I was just like, oh man, I want to see that costume on a body. And so we really went, and I got so lucky because I have this like amazing team to help me do it. So super spoiled, but I mostly like to play characters that are pretty easy to kind of pull off or to create. Like I've done Black Widow. Excuse me. I've done Black Widow. I've done a little bit of Black Cat. I've done Gwen Stacy, Mary Jane, you know, simpler costumes that you can kind of purchase and piece together and do minimal sewing. I have a sewing machine so I can like alter things and make them specific to a costume, but I don't buy like 6 yards of leather and sew it because you got to be a saint, I think, on some level. Just have patience, not swear at your sewing machine as much as I do, all of those kinds of things.
You hear horror stories from different conventions, from particularly from the women cosplayers, about the attitudes that they get from some of the guys. Do you get a lot of that? Do you see that as being a big problem?
Well, I mean, I can see that it is an issue for a lot of women. I was lucky because, again, when I was walking around on the floor, I was with a camera crew, and I also had a wrangler. So I had somebody who was, like, with me, walking me through the convention, making sure I was taken care of. So nobody was going to come up to me unless I kind of, like, welcomed them. So at least when I was in my Scarlet Witch costume. When I've worn other costumes, you know, occasionally a guy will kind of come up to you and ask for a picture, and they'll maybe feel uncomfortable, but I'm also very comfortable as long as somebody is not impolite. I'm happy to put my arm around somebody, take a picture, make a joke about it. I'm always like, let's do something stupid, you know, in this photo so it's fun. But yeah, I mean, I do think it is an issue for women, and there are, like, I've definitely been at conventions not dressed up and not recognized, where somebody has just come up and kind of been like, I want to take a picture with you, and you're like, okay, man, I guess so. So I mean, there can be a little bit of, you know, creepy vibe, but I think the key is just to be respectful. Always ask if you can take a picture. Don't talk about somebody's body parts, because we don't do that as grown-up people, and even young people. We just respect that we're human beings, and you know. But I think it is really just important to be respectful and to kind of treat everybody like they were your sister or your mom or your cousin or just a human being. You know, it's my personal feeling on it.
Speaking of costumes that tend to be more, I forgot what phrase you used, convenient to wear, mm-hmm. I guess it was. What did you think of the new Spider-Man costume?
For the film, you mean?
For Civil War, yeah.
You know, it's funny because when I first saw the eyes, I was like, I'm going to have to be convinced on these eyes. I don't know. I'm like, I'm very picky about Spider-Man. He is my first love, really and truly. And I was like, okay, we'll see. And I wanted Spider-Man to be good so badly. And I think everybody wanted Spider-Man to be good so badly that I was like, okay, we'll see. And then I got into the theater and I really loved it. Like, it made complete sense to me. Like, when his eyes dilate, you hear that little zzz, zzz, and I was like,
yeah.
Oh, like, that made me so happy. Like, that detail alone, I was like, okay, I'm 100% sold on this now, because I just wanted to see that, like, stark innovation in it, where I'm like, yeah, that's like, that's some Iron Spidey right there. Like, that's what I want, you know?
To me, the costume, I liked it as well, because it seemed more, it seemed a lot better than the typical onesie that as Tony's
underoos, yeah.
It's just brought up, and It just seems more, I can't think of the word. I have that problem a lot. I'll have a word and then it's gone. It just seems more, more feasible with an outfit to wear. I was really impressed.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they put in a ton of thought into those things, but, and too, I like that it felt classic still, you know, it didn't feel like it went too far also into tech land. Cause I also don't want to see him like suited up in some sort of like crazy, you know, plastic rubber thing either. Like, you know, you kind of want to see him like sing in his own, in the style that Spider-Man is, where it's like, he is like a dude in spandex. Like, that's his thing. And like, that's actually, you know, good for him. Makes more aerodynamic and makes sense for the way his powers work. Like, that's what I want to see him in. So it made sense.
But there's enough soft plating in the vital areas for protection as well.
Definitely.
And the belt and the sneaking of the belt pouches in the front was brilliant.
Yeah, I love the web shooters. I was just like, yeah, you know, just purely fan moment. I like that too. Like, I love the way that they wrote Spider-Man, particularly in the film, because I like sort of young Spider-Man who, like, Peter Parker just talks and he doesn't have a filter, and it's like he's Deadpool, but he's like the sweet Deadpool. You know what I mean? Like, where he's just like, I don't have a filter. It's just, I'm talking. And that line where Falcon is like, there's not usually this much talking and fighting or whatever. I was just like, oh, that's like the perfect encapsulation of this character. It's just like, you don't chat with the people you're fighting, Spider-Man. Just fight them.
Too much talking.
Yeah. More but punchy, less talky.
That's him.
But it is, yeah.
And that's why people love him, because it's, you know, deep down he takes it seriously.
Oh yeah,
but he's never going to admit it.
No, I love how he told Cap, no, that shield does not obey the law of physics. I'm like, well, yeah, he's right.
I feel like that was the voice of every message board being answered. You're like, hey, message board, we read them.
Hey, but you know, hey, that's Cap.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
he's a veteran. Let him have his shield. Yeah. Until Tony opens his mouth, but you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No spoilers.
But of course, this is the kind of casting we've come to expect from Marvel Studios. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, thinking back, can you imagine anybody other than Robert Downey Jr. being Tony Stark?
I know, and it's crazy to think, like, you know, with the way that Hollywood is, like, anybody could be anybody in a way, you know, because before it's cast, I'm sure when they're writing things, they have people in mind or who they would dream of casting, but you never know until people sign the piece of paper and they have the dates that work and all of that stuff, you know, and it's just so amazing. I think, like, everyone has been so well cast, and I feel like that's one of the coolest things about kind of watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that, to me, also goes, you know, through the Netflix MCU and through TV, through ABC and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, I kind of think we have, like, the coolest casts ever.
Well, they announced on Thursday that Agent Carter has been canceled. What's your take on that, since you've been involved with some of those actors and around some of those characters, so to speak?
Well, I can't speak to anything about that announcement because it hasn't, that's not official that I know of. So I can't really probably comment on that right now. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I love Agent Carter, and she is a wonderful, amazing character who I totally, absolutely adore. And I love Jarvis, and Anna has been such an endearing character to add to that cast. I love the show, and I love those characters, but I can't speak to anything else, unfortunately.
Not a problem. What's been one of the surprise things that you've gotten to done that it's like a bucket list thing that you never thought you would ever be able to do?
Interview Stan Lee. I've gotten to interview him twice now, and you know, I know he's out and about, but I seriously, at every single Comic-Con, I could never get to the line early enough, whether, you know, I was like growing up with my parents and they were like, we're not gonna...
Are you kidding me?
So I would say the time I had to interview Stan Lee, I'd never gotten to meet Stan before because one reason or another, and finally I got to interview him on Marvel Live at New York Comic Con, and we weren't 100% sure if he was going to make it. You know, Stan is older and that stuff, you know, those conventions and stuff can be exhausting, so we were very lucky that he was able to stop by and do an interview with us, and one of our producers came up and he said, Stan's going to be here and you're going to interview him, okay? And I was like, I get to do it? And they're like, yep, we want you to do it. And I was like, okay. And I remember I was like, don't cry. I just got like so overwhelmed with feels. And I remember Ryan Penagos, aka Agent M, you might know him from Twitter and beyond, was like, Lorraine, are you gonna cry right now? And I was like, would that be the wrong thing to do? And he's like, yes, don't cry right now. Before this man walks in, he doesn't want to walk into like a sopping puddle of a woman, tears rolling down her face. I'm like, what, you've done means so much to me. No, it was so lovely. I got to interview him and we talked about his career and his life, and the whole time I was just sort of like, wow, I'm here talking to you. Like, I felt like I was watching myself like an out-of-body experience a little bit because I was just so excited to be there. And I remember at the end, I had made up my mind. I was like, I am going to get Stan Lee to hug me. This is a thing that's going to happen in my life. And so my last question, I was like, so my last question, because they were like wrapping us up, like, my last question is, can I just hug you? And he was like, it would be my pleasure. And I was like, oh my God. And so I have this picture, and it's the cutest picture on the planet because I'm hugging Stan Lee. You can't even see my face, but I'm like ear to ear grin. I'm so happy. And Stan is looking out at the camera going, ah, like mouth agape smile. It's the cutest photo ever. And it is my pride and joy. It makes me too happy. And he's just such a sweet, sweet man, you know?
Awesome. Well, we know you're a fangirl and you're really into Marvel comics as well. What is there a book that might appear now in Marvel Unlimited that you like to go back and read all the time? Or do you have like three books that are, I gotta make sure if I don't read anything else, I've gotta read these?
Totally. I mean, it's funny, my Marvel Unlimited reading is so dictated by my work these days. Like, I went back and I read some old, like, Iron Man stuff because I wanted to look at, like, old Tony Stark Iron Man, or, like, Iron Man Cap feuds, because I was like, oh, I kind of want to, like, look back at this stuff. So a lot of times I use Marvel Unlimited to go back and be like, oh, I want to remember that storyline, and I'll kind of go back and do research. But my comic books that I'm always, like, of all of the stuff that Marvel's putting out, there are always things that I really love. I love Squirrel Girl. I think Ryan North is just the funniest human being. Squirrel Girl is so excellent. And I love comedy books. So I just, and it's not like anything else I think we're doing right now, which it just super tickles me. Black Panther by Ta-Nehisi Coates is crushing it. I think it's awesome. I'm really excited about that book starting. I love Kate Leth on Patsy Walker. I'm a big fan of hers as well. And I love the Mockingbird.
That book's been a pleasant surprise. I really like how it's taken off.
I love too. I'm blanking on the artist right now. But I love the way that it kind of switches between like when it'll kind of go to almost, it's almost like reminiscent of like anime or something like Scott Pilgrim, where it'll kind of like pop in and it'll be like cutesy faces and like kitty cat heart face. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, I don't know. There's something about it that's so charming and like really a unique voice and really funny, you know? I love some heart in a book, and like Miss Marvel. I mean, and two, I like the lady books because I like reading books, you know, from a woman's perspective. I can't help it. It's just awesome. And we have such good women's books right now that aren't, and they're not just like for women. They're not just women's books. They're just books, but they happen to feature women that are awesome. So I think that's pretty great because I know so many guys that are like, oh, I can't wait to read Ms. Marvel and I can't wait to read Black Widow and or whatever it is, you know, because it's awesome.
I'm one of the few. Squirrel Girl is one of my picks almost every month.
Yeah, the best.
Because the same way, I'm probably one of the few people who actually bought the all-new Dupe miniseries when it was out.
I love Dupe. You don't understand? Do you remember the little storyline in, it was in, what was it? Wolverine and the X-Men, the Dupe storyline that Jason Aaron wrote in like, I think it was like number 19 or something. Oh my God.
That's the only reason why
of that series.
I'm not a big X-Men reader, but if I know there's a Dupe storyline, I'll grab it. That's why I love the mini. That miniseries, that five-part miniseries was awesome. But I would love to see a five-part miniseries of Impossible Man come back.
Yeah,
I love
so
Impy.
I also write and produce our top 10 series for our Marvel original video series, which comes out every Friday, and we have little top 10s, and they're really cool and funny and short, easy watching if you you don't even need audio. But we did, what was it? Oh, Most Comedic Characters, and he was like in our lineup, and I was like, oh yeah, Impossible Man, that's awesome. Because he's just like hasn't been around for a while.
Since we brought up comedic characters, I gotta ask. Is a particular gentleman. I'm going to use gentleman.
I already know.
Is this particular person on that list?
How do you do that? You find a way to bring that song in every show.
Y'all, real talk though. I love that movie. I don't care. I love that movie unabashedly. It was meaningful to me as a child.
I like it too. I mean,
I did go back and watch it with a bunch of friends very recently, and I was like, this movie is super weird, but it's really highly enjoyable. No, I love Howard the Duck, and Chip Zdarsky is the best.
Yes. His stuff is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's also excellent on Twitter.
Yes. I do own a copy of Howard the Duck. I was in Walmart one night after work, and the new packaging says, was it like one of the 80s?
Best of the 80s.
Best of the 80s. Okay. And it's Howard the Duck. And I said, see, even Walmart agrees with me. So.
Walmart just figures anybody old enough to actually remember is going to want to buy it anyway. And the ones who are too young to remember are just going to say, oh, well, this is one of the best of the 80s. I'll watch it. And they're like,
what did you do and why?
No, you really needed to watch it close enough to when it came out to truly appreciate it.
It was a product of its time, and I loved it to death when it came out.
All I know is there aren't enough films that have duck nudity.
Especially within the first 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't there be duck nudity within the first 5 minutes? I mean, it's hilarious.
Yes.
Wait, but can I say something about that movie, real talk? You'll never be able to unsee it, though, so I'm warning you. If you look at Howard the Duck's eyes, you know how they're kind of weird?
Yeah.
If you look at them, they're very reminiscent of, like, Macaulay Culkin's eyes. There's something about it that looks like Macaulay Culkin's eyelids. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's there forever.
Oh, my God, you're right!
Right? 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 Thank you.
Oh. Oh.
Oh. I'm out.
Childhood ruined.
My goodness. Why am I doing this to myself?
That's going to haunt me in my sleep. I know.
You guys have comments? If you guys, everybody, Google Howard the Duck right now, the film. Look at those eyeballs and tell me it's not Macaulay Culkin.
You know,
like a hint of
when I was watching Home Alone, I was kind of like, this looks vaguely familiar, and it for no good reason. And then you see pictures of him grown up now, and it's kind of like...
Lorraine is now laughing at Kylan, looking at the picture of Howard the Duck.
Oh my God!
So we gotta figure out how to redo the song Betty Davis Eyes to Macaulay Culkin Eyes.
Right?
I'm
all
done.
With a photo collage of Howard the Duck.
Yes.
So.
I think we're on to something.
The saddest part is my brain is already trying to come up with lyrics.
I can already hear the music, so you know. Get
eyes.
Hey, so I cannot do Kim Carnes. That's it.
So, has there been like an embarrassing moment that you've had doing any of these shows that has actually leaked out on, you know, made it to final production that you're like, it's out there, it's too late, and I can't get it back?
There is an infamous moment that people still make fun of me for. It was me and a couple of guys on Marvel Live, and it was at New York Comic Con, and I was saying something very innocuous and innocent, and it apparently sounded very inappropriate, but I was talking about an issue. It was when the Terrigen Mist had first sort of erupted in New York City, and all of these characters were turning into Inhumans, and they introduced a new character named Ren, who's like, it was a beautiful dancer, she was like a ribbon dancer, and then she becomes an Inhuman, she changes, and she has like these crazy hand things. Anyways, I was talking about how
spirit
beautiful
fingers.
Yeah, she had magical spirit fingers, basically. Alien spirit fingers. But anyway, she has this beautiful like dance sequence in the beginning, and I was talking about how beautiful sort of the anatomy was and like all of the body work that they did on this character, and I was like, it's this beautiful story about a young woman exploring her body and blah blah blah, and like it sounded much more inappropriate than I intended it. I meant just like she was dancing, but the guys were just giggling the whole time, just fuchsia, and they were like, really, that's what you're gonna say? And I was like, what, I didn't mean to. So they still every once in a while they're like, yeah, because she's learning about her body, Lorraine. I'm like, come on. She was an Inhuman. Her body changed. Leave me alone. But, you know, there are always things that you're going to do and say. I mean, luckily none of them have been catastrophic.
Cool.
Thank God for editing. There we go.
It's a friend. It's a very good friend.
This is where I hit that moment with the interview. It's like, and I've actually said it out on the air once of, I'm lost. I can't think of my questions. I actually did that with Ryan when I had him on the show, and I felt so embarrassed. If anyone else has a question, let's go for it.
Or if you have a question for Robot, who has come to visit the microphone.
So
Robot, how did your Rocket Raccoon costume feel when Mama put it on you?
He did not care for it. Actually, he's pretty good about like letting me dress him up in sweaters and stuff. But what he didn't like was me putting makeup on him for photo. I tried to give him like some raccoon makeup. And then at the time, my friend was like, is that humane? And I was like, I think so. I wear it. Like, it hasn't been tested on animals, so I think it counts as okay. I didn't like rub it in his eyes or anything. I just kind of like put it around the outside. It was admittedly crazy adorable. In my defense,
what's been the various shows you've done? Which one have you had at, like, just that one episode where, for whatever reason, there's either the case of the giggles or the case of the stumbles, and it just had the most takes in order to get it done?
When I first started, I think that I was so excited to be there, and I would get so nervous, even though we would be in like low pressure situations, that I would just mess up a lot. And something I used to do is I would be like blah 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 blah. When I would mess up, I would like kind of do weird mouth stuff, and then one of our editors made a super cut of me just going like blah, 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 like just all the weird crap I do, like all linked together. He was just like, hey, come here, I want to show you something. And from then on, I was kind of like, okay, I can chill out. So pretty much like probably the first year I did this job.
Are there any types of shows that you've done that you have not done for Marvel yet that you would like to do next? Like the Watcher being like comedy news, and you know Marvel Live being live out on conventions, and Thwip being the all in one show. What kind of show would you like to do next?
Oh, I mean, I get to do so much stuff with our video content. Even as it is right now, I also do the Marvel Minute, so it's like I do a minute news. I get to do a talk show with Ryan where we're just chatting, and I get to do something where I'm not even in it, but I get to write it and be, you know, part of creating it. What else? I mean, I would love to work on something maybe narrative or something in that realm. I also am a writer of other things, so I think that would probably be the next cool thing, but I make no promises, because who knows? You know, Marvel's always creating new stuff, and we're always innovating and whatever, so who knows what might be, but there's no plans for it. But I think doing something narrative is always, like, pretty cool. A while back, they had a narrative series with the editors that I'm blanking on the name of right now, but it was kind of like a little sketch comedy-ish narrative series that was, like, really fun and like a little mystery story. So stuff like that, I think, is really cool and fun, you know.
Do you think that you would... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead with your follow-up.
Okay, fine. So do you think that maybe one day that you would like to try your hand at writing a monthly title?
I mean, I wouldn't say no. I mean, yeah, I do write quite a lot, and, you know, I think that's always been a dream of mine. So, no, I wouldn't complain.
If so, who would you like to tackle?
Well, you know, it's funny because I used to be really obsessed with writing a Squirrel Girl title, but now Ryan North writes one, and it's so fantastic, and it's so different probably than what I would have done with her. It's actually really wonderful. Because I'm kind of like, oh, it's totally not what I would do, and it's beautiful, and I'm so glad that it exists. Because I think I probably would have taken it to a much stranger, darker place, actually. But I love her living in the space that Squirrel Girl kind of is, and that kind of, you know, that college sweet but very resilient and strong place, you know, and sort of her strength and her kindness, you know, I think is beautiful that he writes. So for a long time, Squirrel Girl, I would love to, like, go and write, you know, any female title. And I'm so attracted to characters like that haven't been as explored. Like Clea, like, is such a cool character, and she's so powerful, and you don't see her in a lot of stuff. So I think, you know, I'm always kind of attracted. I'm really attracted to underdogs as characters in general. Like, and I think that's one of the reasons I like comedy books a lot too, is because you're kind of like, Howard the Duck is a genius and a joke, yeah. You know? And, like, you feel so much, he is an existential character, but you also, like, feel, you're like, I root for this character because he's all of us a little bit. Like, he's the little guy, well, literally and figuratively, you know? So I love those kinds of characters. And I love characters too. Like, I love Squirrel Girl because she is so powerful. You know, she you know, you can say it was a joke in a Christmas issue, but she defeated Thanos, you know? And she's defeated Doom, and, like, she's a very powerful, powerful character that is treated like a joke for being sweet, I feel like.
She knows the Norse squirrel god.
Yeah, right? I love her. I mean, she's just, I don't know. So I really do. I love those kinds of characters. Because, you know, as much as I love Cap and Iron Man and those guys that are, like, big and brassy and strong and super confident, and they're fighting for sort of alpha position, I'm also, like, a lot of, like, I kind of, I'm like, yeah, but Peter Parker, like, the guy who's like, I want to do the right thing, and I'm just trying, you know, like, really appeals to me.
So I guess the ultimate question, Civil War. Mm-hmm. Team Cap, Team Iron.
Captain America, I gotta say. You know, I think if you asked me, like, in grade school, I would be like, well, Team Iron Man, 'cause rules. But, I mean, I think you need to have some ability to be autonomous and make your own decisions, and that you can't have your life owned by the government, ultimately. So you need to have your freedom. Did I answer right? Are you guys all going to fight me on this?
Oh, no. I'm Team Cap.
No, so. I'm not going to fight you on this.
Yeah, you guys are wearing red, white, and blue, so I trust you, Kylan.
No, mine's a different logo of a different type.
I don't recognize it.
So, if you're able to join us for our last segment of the show where we give our picks of the week, it's that time.
Let me see what picks are that week, and I'll tell you what my picks are, because, as you know, I read a week ahead.
Well, while you're pulling up the calendar for next week, we're going to set up the segment.
Great.
And the segment goes a little something like this. I think Hydra has infiltrated, because, you know, that was the comic book shop
in slow motion.
That was the comic book shop by the Shazbots, and we thank them for allowing us to use that for this segment, because it is that time for Picks of the Week. Eric, why don't you go ahead and start us off this week?
Okay, my first pick of the week is Haunted Mansion number 3, written by Joshua Williamson, penciled by Jorge Calho, and cover artist E.M. Gist. Lorraine, am I totally mutilating that?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Happy haunts materialize and grim grinning ghosts socialize. Amidst the singing and joyful ghouls, Constance lurks and the captain's evil plan materializes. Crypts creak and tombstones quake as dark forces within the mansion are unleashed. Danny's fate hangs in the balance, but as a painful truth comes to light, is there anyone he can trust?
Okay. Kylan, your first pick of the week.
Kylan?
You know, we talk when we give our picks. We use our voice.
We have lost his mic. Oh. High sign, high five. Yeah,
the high sign means, hold on, let me work on technical difficulties.
Hail Hydra.
I knew it. I knew they were here messing with
us. I told you. They tried to get me, but you know, Mac let me borrow his axe shotgun, and you know, needless to say, yeah. Exactly.
I like these sound effects.
Well, the one that I almost went with just to describe our night.
Boom! Yep.
So, Kylan, your second pick of the week, or your first pick of the week.
My first
I'm
pick.
I'm jumping ahead.
My first pick is Doctor Strange number 8. The writer is Jason Aaron. The penciler is Chris Bacalo. Hope that's right.
Pacciolo.
Thank you. And the cover artist is Chris Pacciolo. All of Doctor Strange's magic has been destroyed, and our world is on the edge of disaster. What on earth does Steven do?
What does he do?
Based on the cover, it looks like plummets towards a painful death.
It does not look good for him.
Well, my first pick is written by Jerry Dugan. Penciler is Pepe Larez, and it's Uncanny Avengers number 9. The man who fell to Earth starts now. Ultron is back, but this time Hank Pym is in control. Or is he? The taming of the Ultron creates unexpected complications and divides the Unity Squad, and Rogue meets Gambit, we promise.
So this is actually for next Wednesday, I'm just realizing.
Correct.
So this would have been one of mine. That's just computing in my brain right now. So that would have been one of mine, but you know what I will say? I'm going to choose a different one to not double up. Do I need to be reading some sort of fancy synopsis as you guys have all lovely prepared?
Actually, these synopses are courtesy of Marvel.com.
Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm. Since
such good work.
It's whatever the intern has put up on the page.
Sounds right.
Or that's what we're saying.
Can I just make mine up?
Sure.
Yeah.
Since you've had the luxury of reading these before we have, wait.
No, I'm gonna look it up because I can do that because of the magic of the internet. But these are fresh in my mind. This is actually much better for me. Because, you know, when you're trying to remember the ones from 2 weeks ago, that's harder.
Go ahead.
I was going to say mine is actually Deadpool Last Days of Magic number 1. That isn't what you just said, is it?
No.
Okay, excellent. Which is also by Jerry Dugan and Scott Koblish on pencils. And from the pages of Doctor Strange, the Empiricul are waging a war on magic with the goal of wiping out the fantastical from the pages of existence. And then more stuff happened. but also, what's super fantastic in this, it's Jerry Dugan at his best because he's doing that thing where it's like really funny, but also a little bit sad.
And the funny thing is, that was my second pick.
So far, we've had two of the same picks. So we should just double up.
Great minds are thinking alike here.
That seems like that, yes.
I'm just saying, you got good taste, Mike.
We're so far out of each other's boxes. We're in each other's boxes. So, and now mine went back to 2015. So, Eric, your second pick.
My second pick is Deadpool and the Mercs for Money, number 4. Written by Cullen Bunn, penciled by Salvador Espin, and cover artist Declan Chalvey. Ever want to see Deadpool and company on a long haul in a big rig? How about if it's driven by an immortal demonic trucker? Well, I can't hear your response, but I hope it was a yes, because that's what happens in this issue.
Okay. Kylan, your second pick.
Squadron Supreme, number number 7. Writer is James Robinson. The penciler is Leonard Kirk. Cover artist is Alex Garner. As the squadron gets closer to the answer, who is the cabal of alien races on Earth and what threat do they pose to the planet? Things get personal for Dr. Spectrum as she confronts the man who helped destroy her universe and save her life, Black Bolt. Also, the squadron's Nighthawk versus the Nighthawk of the Marvel Universe.
Okay. Well, since I had to make a last-minute change for my number 2, I'm going with Star-Lord number 7. It's written by Stan Humphries. Penciler is Javier Garon. Star-Lord versus Star-Lady. Turns out, working with your ex might not go super smooth. Who knew? Will Peter and Kitty be able to make it out of this mission alive? Who is more dangerous, their enemy or each other?
Can I interject a wonderful little anecdote about that?
Of course you can.
The Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde storyline came about when Sam Humphries was first writing Star-Lord, and they first put those two characters together and they started liking each other. He was actually falling in love with his own girlfriend, and so a lot of their relationship shows up in that book, which makes me feel like so warm and sweet about it. Isn't that very sweet?
It is.
Yes. So now that they're exes, does that mean that bad things have happened to Stan's own relationship? Or are we skirting the bounds of appropriate conversation here?
I think that things have worked out better for Sam than they have for, Star-Lord.
Well, good on you, Sam.
So do you have a second pick for us, Lauren?
Yeah, Civil War 2, number 0 is coming out by Brian Michael Bendis with pencils by Olivier Coipel. And I will just say that this is my favorite She-Hulk ever. Like, the art, particularly Olivier Coipel's work on it, my favorite She-Hulk to have ever been. And this, the synopsis goes, from the creative team that brought you House of M and Siege comes a blistering first chapter in Marvel's new explosive event. Watch as the players are introduced and the table is set for a storyline that fans will be talking about for years.
I can't believe Ryan lets them in their house.
Oh boy.
So Eric, your last pick of the week.
My last pick of the week is Mighty Thor number 7, written by Jason Aaron, penciled by Rafa Guerrez, and cover artist Russell Dauterman. You wouldn't like this Viking when he's angry. That's it. The intern apparently was right next to quitting time.
All right. Nice. Well, Kylan, your final pick for May 18th.
What could it be? There's so many books that's coming out this week. How about Power Man and Iron Fist number 4? Writer is David Walker. Penciler and cover artist is Sanford Green. It is time to roll on Royce. Former Heroes for Hire office manager Jenny Royce's resentment for Luke and Danny and her power from the stolen Super Soul Stone is reaching capacity. Time for an old school Big Apple grudge match. Mike and Wright versus Misguided and Magic. Be like New York City. Don't sleep. Read this comic instead.
Show enough.
For shizzle.
You know, not that I'm excited for this book or not. You know, yeah. I've been waiting a month. Yeah.
Just calm down, Kyle.
Oh, no.
You don't want to strain that finger.
I know.
My final book for May 18th, New Comic Book Day, is going to be a surprise, partially because there's no Star Wars titles this week, which surprised me. It's been a long time since I've gone a week with no Star Wars titles in my picks.
Wow.
So I went with The Astonishing Ant-Man number 8. Its writer is Nick Spencer. Penciler is Brent Schoenover. If I mispronounced it, he's more than welcome to come on the show and correct it.
That's our standard operating procedure. You know, if we mispronounce your name, please come on the show and correct us. We will personally apologize.
It's the superior foes of Ant-Man. Scott's weird new rogues gallery has a new job thanks to the dastardly power broker and his hinch app. Why is it so dastardly? It keeps crashing. I wonder if Jarvis loaded this hinch app on the computers tonight since we've been having the same issues. Hate when the apps do that.
Microsoft, it's a Hydra product.
Yes, it is.
You know, I've been surprised. Jarvis has been kind of quiet tonight.
He really has.
Yeah. So,
Jarvis is my co-pilot.
And of course, it's there, and I still have it. So, Lorraine, if you would, your final pick for us.
I'm going to go with, you know, it was just Mother's Day, so Spider-Woman number 7 by Dennis Hopeless with pencils by Joelle Jones and cover artist Yasmine Purdy. So this is part 7. What happened in the Marvel Universe during Jessica's time on Earth 65? What's happened in her home? Who's that with her baby? Those are all questions that this title will pose. But I love her sort of foray into motherhood. It's fantastic. If you haven't been watching it, it's kind of super great.
I love the cover. They're fighting and you just see the one word balloon. Shh. With the baby sleeping in the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is actually very sweet, too. I was reading an interview, actually, with Nick Lowe, the editor, the Spider-Man editor, and Dennis Hopeless were talking about having children and how it's changed their life, and that's kind of how this Spider-Woman thing came a part of it. So basically, look at the titles people are writing, see how it affects their lives, and their lives affect their books.
Well, those are our picks for the week. Bonus, you got 3 monthly picks from Lorraine. You got her adding her picks of the week along with our 9 picks. So we're going to have a dozen picks this week, which is amazing.
You can't go wrong.
No, you can't.
No one can't. But we got one more, and that's our Marvel Unlimited pick of the week. And since Jarvis has been quiet, hey, Jarvis, can you pull that up for us?
You are not authorized to access this area.
Jarvis, you need to fix that, please.
For you, sir, anything.
I'm so glad Tony gave us a copy of Jarvis before Jarvis became Vision. So.
Yeah, but this was Jarvis for Vista.
Oh. Did you know he runs the old base? Right.
I keep promising to upgrade him to 8.1, but still.
Well, I made this week's Marvel Unlimited pick in honor of Lorraine. Written by a writer who I've had on over on Weeby Geeks, the main show that I do. It's written by Sean McKeever. The penciler was Takashi Mizuzawa, and it's Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane, number
Aww.
1. The boyfriend thing. Because you demanded it, the highly acclaimed drama featuring the life of a teenage Mary Jane Watson returns as an ongoing series. And this time, she's got some friendly neighborhood backup. With her circle of friends and her recent relationship left in despair, MJ is on the market once again. But who will she choose to be the next object of her affection? Peter Parker. Her bookish but sweet tutor and newly minted friend. Or that dangerous, exciting crime fighter in red and blue tights, Spider-Man. Stick with the Eisner Award winner Sean McKeever and superstar artist Takashi Mizuzawa to find out. So in honor of your Mary Jane cosplay, this week's Marvel Unlimited pick is Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane.
That's the best.
And Kotlin, if you would
take
please,
that other guys.
And Kylan, if you would, remind everyone what our Marvel Unlimited book club pick is for this month.
It is Captain America issue number 337. Read it, learn it, love it. Guarantee you're going to enjoy it.
Awesome. Before we go, anyone have any final thoughts or final questions for Lorraine? Hint, hint, Kylan.
I do, actually. Were you surprised by the what took place in Civil War affecting what was going on in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Was I surprised by it?
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. It's always interesting because I always want to see how those things affect each other. I mean, obviously Winter Soldier had the most effect on that show. I mean, it was like, hey, remember the show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that just started? Oh, S.H.I.E.L.D. is over. Crush. But I mean, everything is spoiled for me.
That's true, too. So you probably knew, you knew when you knew, but did you, because we were talking about on the show here how we couldn't see how, much like last year with we get the Theta Protocol, they talk about it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then we see it Age of Ultron, and then.
Yeah, and that's how Age of Ultron starts, is with the Theta Protocol going into effect.
Right. So, but then, you know, there wasn't any lead in last week's episode, but then, you know, you go see
the Civil War, and now they talk about how they're talking about registration, and the Sokovia Accords is the law of the land, and I'm like, I did not, for some reason I kind of thought, well, how are these?
Did you
two
forget
going together?
It's all connected?
I did not, but now we're talking registration, and I'm like,
yeah, it's a spicy
this got
meatball,
big,
right?
Yeah,
well, yeah, especially when you unleash a bunch of Terrigen all over the planet, and people are taking fish oil capsules and getting powers unintentionally, and you don't know who it's going to be or how it's going to happen. Potentially, that's a really complicated issue for the show to deal with. I mean, I think that's what this show was kind of intended to be. You know, what happens on with the street, kind of street level. You know, like people that are on the street dealing with and living in the world of heroes and these kinds of big, you know, the humans among Titans. And it's interesting because these are people that, you know, we don't necessarily know how their lives are. They didn't wake up and be like, I'm going to be a superhero today. They're like, oh no, I woke up and now I can throw metal around or whatever it is, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I think it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out and how much it's going to like kind of echo through the Marvel Universe. Cause I mean, it is all connected.
Right.
We have two episodes. We have 2-hour season finale on Tuesday to see how that keeps going. And then we'll have another season 4. So,
yeah. And I'm not answering the phone. So if anybody calls me, I'm not talking to you.
So, well, we thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me, of course, at Marvel.com and YouTube.com/Marvel. And you can follow me personally. Everywhere is Lorraine Cinc, LorraineCinc. And that's on Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram. And you can find me on Facebook slash Like Lorraine. You can like me, I'll like you back, I guess. I don't know how that works. But yeah, all of those places.
Awesome. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Jarvis, if you would, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just time to go dark. So I gotta ask, when you found out this week's episode, did you see Civil War first before you got to see this week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, no, I'd seen Civil War a couple times because I saw it for the Hollywood premiere. And so I saw it, I've seen it twice. I guess because that episode came out the weekend after, or the weekend, the film came out the weekend before, and then the following episode, right? So yeah, I'd seen it like 2.5 times at that point.
Okay. So I wasn't sure if that kind of got, the movie kind of got leaked for you first because of the S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, or if you got to see it in proper order.
Oh no, I saw it in proper order. That one wasn't too spoiled for me. Sometimes things get really spoiled, and sometimes they, like, I get them kind of in real time, you know? So it just depends on what the thing is, yeah.
Awesome.
Hey guys, I'm Lorraine Cinc from Marvel.com, and you're listening to... Let me try that again. I know my own name. Hey guys, this is Lorraine Cinc from Marvel.com, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Awesome. The second one is essentially the same thing, but you're listening to Sorcerer Radio, because this show, we air first on Sorcerer Radio, which is the top Disney internet radio station.
Cool.
And then we release on Sundays at 6:16, either morning or evening, depending on how quick I get the show up, as a podcast on WeebieGeeks.net.
Cool. So it's called Sorcerer Radio?
Correct.
Kind of like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, but
right.
Radio.
Or Supreme.
Yeah, there you go.
That's my preference, but you know.
I like that.
Okay. Hey guys, this is Lorraine Cinc from Marvel.com, and you're listening to Sorcerer Radio.
Awesome.